Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Mavs Fanatic Podcast on Almighty Baller Radio.
At the request of our MVP, he's going to lead us in our new favorite song.
Thank you, Master!
Seems cinematic.
It is?
No.
No, but this has been a cinematic season for the Mavericks. You know, if you think about it. I was looking through some of our tweets from last night, and this has been an interesting season. Like, this is there's at least been some stuff that's been interesting. We had the Nerlens Noel trade. We had
some ups, been some downs.
We had Yogi Mania.
That's true.
We had Dirk's 30K game.
And then we ended it last night with Romo.
With Tony Romo.
My boy, Tony.
Welcome to the Mavs Fanatic Podcast. Yo. Radio show extravaganza of science. My name is Nick Engstead.
I like that. Radio extravaganza of science. I like that.
I always
say
of science because of Bill Nye. This the tester dummy of science.
Wow. We gotta get Bill Nye on here for that.
Getting Bill Nye on the pod would be the best.
Yeah, it would be
Bill Nye, fun. Friend of the pod. My name's Nick Engstead. I'm a writer, content creator.
Are you?
I don't know. When's the last time I wrote something? I mostly just do videos and podcasts now. At MavsFanatic.com. And join with me.
How you doing?
As always.
The one and the only.
The tandem.
Yeah, it's me.
Nick and Taman.
Taman Turner. How you guys doing? I hope y'all are well.
You sound down. You're sad.
I'm great. By the way, I want the pod world to know, because I've mentioned it many times, my sister had her baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm now officially an uncle. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely.
Shout out to my sister.
And shout out to Valerie.
Yeah, shout out to my niece Valerie as well.
That's awesome. And that goes beyond. Also, I wanted to give out a formal apology to Rivers Romo for accidentally calling him a girl on Twitter.
Fail.
That was a redacted tweet that couldn't have been deleted fast enough.
Oh.
That was unfortunate.
And he has a third child on the way, sir.
Congrats to him.
Yes, Tony.
So the season, by the time you're hearing this, the season is over. The Mavericks are probably, as we speak right now, playing the Memphis Grizzlies in Memphis on the second night of a back-to-back after the Romo extravaganza of
Tony Romo, number 9.
So the Mavericks are, as you're listening to this, the Mavericks are either 33-49 or they're 32-50, which...
They're going to be 32.
If you care about round numbers, that matters, but if you don't, then... the record's not going to change that much.
No. I think they'll be 32-50. The Mavericks, this season, you know, there was bad, there was good, there were some exciting times. But, there was that one little stretch, what was it, late February, early March, where the Mavs really
Seth
looked like
Curry's
they were going to run.
Run of craziness.
But it convinced me to change my pick. But then I changed it right back when I realized they weren't doing
which
anything.
Which in retrospect just looks really bad on you now.
It really does. I look like a flip-flopper, which I guess you can say I was. But hey, you know what? It fits because the Mavericks flip-flopped all season. So I just went with what the Mavericks did.
How many pieces were written about the Mavericks? They need to decide. The Mavericks need to decide right now. I feel like I wrote at least 3 of these.
Right.
Where the Mavericks need to decide whether they're tanking or whether they're going for the playoffs.
They took the playbook out of Taman Turner, the one and the only, and said, we'll do it one day, and then we'll do this another day.
Just depends what we want. Am I going to have tacos tonight, or am I going to have pancakes tonight? That's literally what you said to me before.
I'm so glad to. I'm really debating that. Should I have tacos, or should I have
And by the time people
pancakes.
Are listening to this, he has decided.
Yes,
so.
I have. Right so now, I'm leaning towards pancakes, but I'm letting you guys know by the end of this podcast,
still
I could
open.
Lean towards tacos.
So tweet at Taman if you want to know whether he ate pancakes or whether he ate tacos tonight.
I will let you know.
But let's not bury the lead. Tony Romo last night.
I love Tony.
Are you a fan of it? Not a fan of Romo. Are you a fan of the gesture?
Absolutely.
Wow.
I am, because I am a Mavericks fan. I am a Cowboys fan. I have been a big, big, huge defender of Tony Romo.
This is going to be huge.
Yes. I'm a big fan of Tony Romo. And I hate... He's been very classy, and he helped.
Yeah.
He was a very good player for the Cowboys, and he's always been this figure in Dallas. What is he? I guess the word is controversial. You either love him or you hate him, right? And
is he controversial in Dallas, or is that just the general? I feel like he's controversial in the country.
He
but not
is.
Like
he isn't now.
Yeah,
he isn't now. But that hasn't always been the
because
case.
Because of Dak, I guess.
Right. You know, like, and you know what? Because of Dak and because the way he went out. When he gave that speech in the middle of the year saying, you know, I'm giving the team over to Dak. You know, that's when everybody started to love him. But Dallas has been rough on him, too. It's always been a back and forth. But, yes, you know, nationwide, it's always been either love him or you hate him.
Yeah.
But I've always defended Romo. I mean, sure, have I criticized him at times when maybe he didn't play well? Sure, absolutely. I mean, that's going to happen. But
I mean, he did only win two playoff games, so there is criticism somewhere. Oh. It's not like he was—
on the grand scale of things, I think that, you know, I definitely defended him a lot, and I loved what he did. And I always used to say this, particularly during the 8-8 years for the Cowboys. I said, Romo's the reason we have 8 wins, but he isn't the reason we have 8 losses. And I solely believe that because I think those teams went 8-8. I think if Romo weren't on those teams were like 1-15. Yeah, they were not seriously that good.
That might be more of a testament to how important the quarterback position is in the NFL, right, though, you know?
I mean, true, but they got to be able to play. The Cowboys had 9 quarterbacks between Aikman and Romo who couldn't play.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's the city of Dallas, and Tony Romo's a huge Mavericks fan. Since he's been the starting quarterback for the Cowboys, he's consistently showed up at Maverick games. Mark Cuban definitely took notice. Players have taken notice of it. Heck, I remember one time we were leaving the locker room and I saw Tony Romo walk by.
Yeah,
you know, Tony, I mean, he's definitely always there. And the fact that Mark Cuban did this for him, let him suit up, you know, have his name called by the PA announcer, all the fans cheering him on, it was kind of like a proper send-off, you know, because he retired. We know the injuries over the course of the last 2 seasons. They didn't really get to give him a good quarterback like that a proper, you know, goodbye. And I think that was finally it for Tony Romo.
Interesting. A send-off by introduction. And they introduced him as a Maverick, and that's his send-off.
Yeah. And I love what Tony said. You know, he started speaking. He was like, you know, I love you, Dallas. And I think this will always be a special place for him. Obviously, he played his whole career here. But even, you know, as he goes to a different endeavor with CBS.
His whole career thus far.
Oh, you think he has something else up his sleeve?
I saw an article this morning saying that he hasn't filed his retirement papers yet.
And it's true.
And even so, Brett Favre did. Brett Favre came back after that.
I do you think that, could you see Tony Romo playing somewhere else?
Could I see it? No. Like, I feel like Romo is just, he is Cowboys.
Yeah,
you know, like,
I do too.
And I didn't grow up a Cowboys fan. I'll just be clear about that. But thinking about Tony Romo as an athlete, as a football player, is like that. It's Cowboys, you know. Like I just can't like imagine. But of course, I did the same thing with Peyton Manning. Like I just imagined him as Colts, and then he went to the Broncos, and now I imagine him as both. I imagine him with like an orange shirt with both orange and blue at the same time. You know,
Theoretically, I could see Tony playing, but kind of like what you're saying, like I think he loves the Cowboys too much not to play because I think he can play now. I really think he can now. Granted, you know, you got to watch his injuries, but I think that
hopefully,
you know,
not watching injuries.
If you listen to his little press conference that he had, or his little conference call that he had with CBS, he said that the Texans were at the top of his board.
So he had a board.
Yeah, he had a board.
There was
and so that tells me right there he can play if he wants to.
Sure,
but so, I don't think he wants to. I think he wants to play his entire career with one team.
The Mark Cuban also came out and apparently he approached Adam Silver about
this is hilarious.
Tony Romo,
I saw that.
Literally playing in the game, which Tony Romo at his press conference / presser after shoot around yesterday. He said that he doesn't think that somebody asked him, like, what do you think about suiting up and playing 10 or 15 minutes? Like, I don't think I could play 10 or 15 minutes, which 10 or 15 minutes of basketball in 2017 is tough. I mean, if you watch some of these guys do, I mean, you get out there and you run down the court 3 times and they're sweating buckets because they're just, I mean, every possession is tough.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was hoping with, I said, you know, prior to the
that
Denver
they would
game,
just do it and accept.
No, my goal
take the
was
fine.
I would have loved them to do that. I wanted them to literally, with the game out of hand, which it did get a little out of hand, with like a minute left, just have Romo go in there and just take a couple shots. You know, doggone well, if he had went in there,
the arena would have
it would have been nuts. Yeah,
erupted.
It would have been, especially if he made it. Let's say he takes a three.
The camera
from the top
phones
of the
would
key
have been. Why do I say camera phones? Every phone has a camera. Yeah. The phones would have been out.
Like, oh yeah, it would have been.
Oh man.
The funny thing is that would have been more remembered than the Nuggets winning. Just Tony Romo hit a three during the game.
Or Dirk 30K. It would have been like, you were you there when
Romo? Were you there when Romo hit the three?
So I think that that would have opened up a can for the NBA. Not as a Mavs fan, but opened up for the NBA a can of worms that
absolutely.
Adam Silver was not prepared for.
No, absolutely.
Because then you'd have like random football player coming and playing for a down. You'd have like random like Drake.
Yeah.
Like Drake would be able to play for the Raptors at some point during the season, and it just would have been
Mark Cuban would tell Jerry Jones that you have to return the favor for Dirk Nowitzki since he's retiring next year.
Oh my gosh. Dirk in a Cowboys. I just blew my mind just now. Dirk, well, he couldn't be wide receiver.
7 foot wide receiver, 7 foot quarter.
They can't run. They can't bend his knees. He would be a tight end, I guess.
That would be a very tall tight end.
Well, that'd be a very tall anything.
Yeah. Very, very, very tall.
Man,
they'll be like starting at tight end, number 41, Dirk Nowitzki, even though they don't do starting.
Yeah, they don't do that. I wish they would do that at football.
Do you watch Sunday Night Football on NBC?
Yeah.
You know how like they'll do the introductions and they'll have the
players
in their college? Dirk Nowitzki.
Tony Romo.
Westbrook Germany. I would die laughing. I think it'd be hilarious.
And that's what it would have opened up. It would have opened up so many crossover possibilities that I would get excited for.
Right.
But then you'd have like random like Elvis Andrews would be playing for the Mavericks. But you're like, what the heck?
Here's the thing. They said that the NBA said that Tony Romo cannot play because he was not signed to a contract. So I thought of this question. So you know when players for a long time, when they come back, they might retire and sign like a one-day contract and retire?
Yeah.
If the Mavericks had signed...
Paul Pierce is going to do with the Celtics.
Yeah, if the Mavericks had signed Romo to a one-day contract, why didn't they just do that? Sign him to a one-day contract just so he could play in the game. I would have loved that.
Gosh,
that would have been awesome.
Would they have had to pay him? They would have to pay him, right?
It wouldn't have hurt Cuban.
We'd have to pay him like $6,000.
And you know what? Knowing Romo, he probably would have just given it to charity anyway.
Yeah, no, the Mavericks probably would have.
Yeah, so like, why didn't they just do that? I totally would have done
that. There's definitely contract and player association things with that.
Just shining players off
off
the
street. Like, how does it work? Like, am I right now currently eligible as an NBA free agent, or do I have to be a part of... like a union, you know, how does that work? Like,
that's a good question.
You know, could they just like pick me off the sign me to a 10-day
starting
just because I'm
guard.
A starting
from
at
Dallas
guard,
Baptist
the
University,
slowest NBA player to ever play. Yes, slower than Joakim Noah right now.
Oh boy, Nick.
Nah, that would not work.
No.
I think there's something else technically involved with that.
I would be rooting for you though.
I appreciate that. Because you know, in my post-game interview, I'd be like, yeah, I just want to thank Tame and Mavs Fanatic. Because I would mention you. I would give you a shout-out.
We don't talk about that no more.
No, I'll drop it.
No, you can't. Actually, I think it's hilarious. Because what gets me about that was when you started that beef, I thought it was just going to be something where I could totally just like...
something sports-related, not between us.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be something sports-related. I thought it was going to be like, okay, I can work with this. And then when you said,
So what we're talking about is Taman went on the Drive and Dish podcast, which is another podcast that is related to Almighty Baller. It's not on Almighty Baller.
They're not on it, but they're related to it. They're really good friends with Chris, my good friend from college.
Friend
from
of the
University.
Pod.
Kevin Rayfuse.
Friend of the pod, Kevin Rayfuse. And that he went on the podcast, talked all about Mavs Fanatic podcast, all that. And he never said we, and he never said my name. So I beefed with him last week. I had a beef of the week with him about how he never mentioned me. It was two weeks ago. But
it was like, you see what happened was.
See? And Taman for once had nothing to say.
I was literally speechless. I couldn't.
Because it wasn't like me saying they should make the playoffs. It was about...
Yeah, because when he bought it up, he was like, Taman, I got a beef with you. I thought it was going to be something ridiculous. Like,
about Durant
Durant, Westbrook, Harden. And then when he said that, I was like, oh.
Whoops. Oh, man. So let's go through this season. Like, let's do sort of an oral history of this season.
Okay.
The team started out awful. I mean, just probably it was one of the worst starts to a season in Mavericks history. They were 3-13 at some point. And the tankers were out there, and it was really bad. I mean, it was bad basketball.
It was really hard
to watch. There wasn't really anything to get excited about. I mean, I guess we got excited about Harrison Barnes at the beginning of the season, right? Like that.
Yes.
Like that was something we were like, oh,
it was
man.
The Barnes and Matthews show for like first 2 months of the season.
Yeah, man, and those guys have been the most like they've been. I mean. Matthews hasn't been consistent in his play, but they've been the most consistent players.
Let me ask you a question, because
yeah.
I have seen a good amount of Mavs fans, you probably have too, who are kind of tired of Wes.
I've seen a lot of Mavs fans that are tired of
Wes. What are your
Wes.
Thoughts on that?
I think that it's hard because you do have to judge a guy on his play, and Wes Matthews has been so up and down in his 2 years with Dallas, and the injury, people are still saying he's injured again. So now is he an injury liability?
Well, or I mean, he signed his contract.
Or is he just inconsistent? You know, like,
I mean, he signed his contract to come here injured.
Right.
He was coming off that Achilles injury.
And that's why it was a controversial decision to not only sign him to that deal, but to raise the money because after the center who should not be named decided to go back. I think he can still be like the third or fourth best player on like a championship team, like a guy, a 3-and-D guy that guards the best, you know, perimeter player on the other team. Like,
yeah, well,
if you plugged him into the Cavs right now, it would make the Cavs so much better.
Oh, I agree. I mean,
Kyrie and Wes Matthews and
you just brought it up because when people tell me that, you know, I'm kind of tired of Wes, I'm kind of sick of it, I flip this back on them and then they agree. I'm like, well, you know, one thing that's really positive about Wes that's been pretty consistent for the most part is that he's a pretty good defender.
Yeah.
And a lot of people forget that because we're so focused on, oh, he's on a scoring drought, or he's not playing that way. He hasn't shot the ball well.
He's not shooting well.
But, like, he's still a good defender.
Yeah, and I went through and tried to do my awards, and NBA Reddit has this thing where you can go in and do your own survey of awards and pick guys. And all defense is impossible because it's so hard to quantify defense. Like you can't. There's no real metrics. Like we have real plus minus, like defensive real plus minus. You have box, like whatever defensive box minus or whatever they call it on Basketball Reference. Like you have blocks and steals. You have, you know, field goal defended percentage. Like you have those things. But then, but to really quantify defense, like Wes Matthews had a couple plays this year where a guy was dribbling and he didn't get a shot off. So that's not shots defended. You know, he refused for them to get a shot off. And that's a super good defended play, but there's no stats that are involved in that.
Right.
I mean, yes, I guess you could call it his forced turnover, you know, percentage or whatever you want to call it, but it's so hard to quantify and so hard to judge and value defense. That's, I think, going to be something that's coming up soon. That there's so many smart people working on, you know, stats and analytics, and I mean, you look at Sloan, like Sloan Conference has grown significantly and so exponentially, and they, you know, are working on all these statistics and stuff. Somebody's going to figure out defense. Like somebody's going to figure out how to quantify defense, because because those are situations where it's usually pass fail, you know, where you're defending a guy. Like usually
I haven't heard that in a while.
where you either the guy doesn't score, the guy does score, the guy does something else good. You know, like I think that's something that's coming. But with Wes Matthews, yes, his defense is something that should be valued more than a lot of people do.
And he had
an interesting thing that he said after a game where he really struggled. I mean, it was recently. It was a couple games ago where he said, you know what, like, yeah, I am struggling. You know, this has been, you know, a tough stretch, but my grandma just texted me, and he pulls out his phone and he opens his phone and says, he didn't open his phone, he just pulled out his phone. Why am I like stuck in the 90s with those cell phone references?
I don't know, the camera phones and
flipped open his phone. So he got out his phone and he showed us the text, and it was from his grandma. Said, not everything is scoring. You can affect the game in different ways. You had a good game tonight. Love you, sweetie.
it was like,
it's true.
Can always count on grandma.
There's other ways to affect the game, and I think Wes Matthews does that. However, I don't think this is the right situation for him. I don't think that Wes Matthews is a guy that should be on a team that forces him to try to create offense. You know, he should be a guy that just benefits from collapsing defenses and open threes. If Wes Matthews,
so in other words, he should be on a really good team.
Yeah, he should be on. I mean, the Trailblazers was where he succeeded. That's when he had a LaMarcus Aldridge that had gravity. He doesn't really have guys
on
his team
that
have gravity
right now.
Well, I mentioned the Cavs earlier. I think that would be incredible if he was on the Cavs instead of Kyle Korver. I think the Cavs would be good,
creepy.
And I think he could be good on the Rockets. You put him and Harden and Beverly, holy crap. Who's scoring against Beverly and Wes Matthews?
Yeah, I think on his shooting, though, I think because the Rockets shoot a lot, I think you're going to get some nights where Wes is just killing it, and then you're going to have some nights where it's just like, dude.
Right, but he's not...
And I 8 for 12. And
I've mentioned this theory before.
It's 1 for 11.
It's the 25-50-100% player thing that Mike Lombardi talks about in the NFL, where you have players that are 100% players. Like Dirk in his prime was 100% player. You knew exactly what you were going to get out of Dirk every single night, and it was going to be awesome. Wes Matthews might be a guy, and he probably is a guy that's a 50% guy. 50% of the time, you're going to get something incredible. The other 50% of the time, you're going to get something not as good. You know, like, he's just not going to be as consistent. Lamar Odom was another guy who Dallas Mavericks fans hate, but he was like a 50% guy, where you're like, 50% of the time, you're like, holy cow, Lamar Odom is a transformational player and different than anybody else we've ever seen. And then the other 50% of the time, you're like, man, this guy is like not a 4, he's not a 3, he's not a 5. You know, I can't figure out what this guy is.
Right.
And he's, Wes Matthews is one of those guys. And I hate, I can't stand that we are trying to send away Wes Matthews, you know, like, because he is a good player. He's a good NBA player.
He's a very good player.
And we're now putting him on different teams.
And I think sometimes we overlook him. Like, I think that we sometimes forget about Wes. Like, we get so excited when Barnes does something, when Curry does something, when Brea does something, when
a little flashier.
Yeah, but Wes is a really good player. I think we forget that sometimes. And it's kind of like the Dirk argument I used to make back in the day. Not as much now, but, you know, Dirk was not the people used to always talk about Dirk and Amari, right, back in the mid to late 2000s.
That seems so long ago.
I know.
Holy cow.
I said...
They were on the same team.
Yeah, they were. You were, right. I said that Dirk was better. And you didn't make the argument at the time, but I used to always say that Dirk was better. But,
you were very right.
Yes. But the thing is, Amari was flashier. His play was sexier doing the dunks and whatnot when Dirk was just shooting and doing a, you know,
being
fadeaway
jump. Being as efficient as...
Right. And you know, that's the argument I use there. Sometimes I think we forget Wes because sometimes his game isn't the sexiest, but he's still a good player.
Yeah, definitely. He's a good player. I'm glad that he's still on the team. He's a competitive force and a competitive fire that this team really needed when they were that bad.
And for the people who, like, are just ready, they're just done with them, like, I just think we're done. Who are we going to replace him with? Who you got lined up?
These are the same people that are like, oh, second round picks. You know, get as many second round picks as you can and find somebody random. Like, Wes was undrafted. Like, yeah. Dorian Finney-Smith was undrafted. Like, right. These guys are the guys that we're bringing in. Like, just because you think that, like, oh, we should send Wes Matthews away for draft picks. Like, we're not replacing these guys with draft picks.
By the way, there's something I want to bring up.
Okay, this is a free flowing conversation.
I
occasionally touches on
the Mavericks. Maps almost found themselves a shooter the other night.
And Jared Utoff.
No. Wrong.
Is it Tony Romo?
No. You and I both saw that girl shoot that basketball.
Oh, Courtney.
Courtney.
Shout out to Courtney.
Shout out to Courtney. That was awesome.
Yes. That was incredible.
That was awesome.
That was another great moment in this season.
Yeah, that was so fun.
Because it wouldn't have been the same kind of moment if the Mavericks had been a better team. Because
true.
You wouldn't have, and maybe this is not true, but you wouldn't have had Dirk and Devin and Wes, like, not in the huddle at all.
Well, yeah, let me ask you this. I know this sounds
and
really...
And so when she hit the shot, they were, like, all hugging her, and, like, it was awesome.
Let me ask you this, because I know this sounds really weird, because you kind of just alluded to it. Why do we love losers, but we hate winners? And what I mean by that is that every team that becomes a winner, we tend to hate them. The Warriors. The Patriots.
The Cavs.
Like, but
Spurs, but, for some people.
Right. But when teams, the Lakers for a long time. It's like, but when teams lose, like, there's just this mantra about them. We love them. They're fun.
Teams and fans of teams, especially fans of teams that are kind of good,
right,
can get so defensive. Especially if you think about Mavericks fans. Mavericks fans forever have been conditioned to be a good team. To be in the hunt, a little bit spoiled, sure, and not be the best team in their own state.
I know, that's rough.
That's a tough thing to go through for a fan base, to go through all this and then be knocked out of the playoffs again and again and again and finally make it. You got the 2011. Like, Mavs fans have the 2011, so at least they can do that. Can you imagine Mavs fans if you didn't have 2011?
Dirk wouldn't be looking the same.
Dirk would be looked at a lot like Tony Romo.
Yeah.
And
the only difference is he wouldn't get as much flack because the Mavericks are not on the grand scale as the Cowboys.
Right.
didn't say that right.
And to look to see the Mavericks had zero titles and the Spurs had five, and like you're never going to be the best team in your own state.
Yeah, I used to always, you know? I've been saying that the Spurs have been everything the Mavericks have wanted to be.
Yeah.
They really have been.
Right.
It's like the Spurs are the Mavs' big brother. They are.
Man, maybe we should be a Spurs podcast.
Wrong. I mean, like, the Mavericks have one ring. The Spurs have five.
Yeah, and right? I would rather cover Dirk than I would want to cover Tim Duncan or Kawhi. You know, like,
right. I mean, that's the thing, too, about the Spurs.
I feel like covering Kawhi would be so hard. Doesn't say anything.
The Spurs are so good, but they have been boring for everyone's lifetime.
That's true.
It's the boring versus sexy again.
You remember that 2004 Pistons versus Spurs that was deemed, like, the most boring finals ever?
That was 05. 04 was Pistons-Lakers.
No, 05 was Pistons-Lakers.
No, 04 was Pistons.
Oh, 05? All right. It was close. 04, 05.
05, yeah.
04, 05.
I know that. Only reason why I know that because 05, 06 was Heat Mavs.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
A lot of people thought the Heat were going to make it the year before, but make it to the finals the year before, but Shaq got hurt in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Pistons.
And then the Pistons, that's how the Pistons ended up making it. That's how the Raptors could end up making the finals.
Yeah. Sure.
If Kyrie or if LeBron goes down.
Yeah.
I mean, holy cow.
I don't mean to take the convo off the Mavericks, but
you have several times already.
I have. I really have. But I want to go to the East for a second.
Okay.
And look at the Cavs because they have struggled. They have not, you know, people say they haven't looked the same since the All-Star break. They haven't looked the same since January 1st. Let's be honest here.
The Cavaliers?
Yeah. They have not played good basketball. But no. I still think that the East goes through Cleveland.
Yeah, same. So do I.
Yeah, I just think as long as LeBron James is there, that conference goes through him.
And the defense, they're a bottom third team in defense right now. They might be one of the bottom two. I don't know. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But
they're not playing good defense.
They're not playing good defense at all. They're playing below, like way below average defense. And that doesn't necessarily matter when you have the track record of six finals in a row.
It's crazy.
He should probably get the benefit of the doubt on that. But when you get to the finals, that's when it matters. That's when you're like, can you get stops? Can you, you know, create extra possessions? Because it gets so tight and it gets so, I mean, you're in a tight game and all of a sudden Steph Curry is out, like out of the game because he's, you know, he can't hit shots. It's so tight that you have to be able to turn to different guys. You have to be able to turn to a Klay Thompson, turn to a Draymond Green. And on defense, the Cavaliers do not have players that you can say, well, LeBron is not guarding as well. No, that's a bad example. If Iman Shumpert is not guarding as well as we need him, he is not stopping Klay Thompson at all. He is not stopping Kawhi Leonard at all. Who do we turn to? Kyle Korver? Darren Williams? DeAndre Liggins? Oh, wait, no. The Mavs have DeAndre Liggins now.
You know, I saw that. I don't remember where I saw it, but I know I saw it.
You think he's going to play tonight? He has to, right?
Sure. Why not?
What a random thing at the end of the season.
Yeah.
To sign.
That's what you do when you're tanking. But I'll say this, though. You know how, like, with the MVP race, I'm going back to the Cavs for a second, but, like, they have Westbrook, Harden, Kawhi, and LeBron.
Yeah.
I think LeBron's off.
Off the MVP ballot? Yeah. Yeah, because the team hasn't played well.
Yeah, the team hasn't played well. That doesn't mean he's not great or he's not valuable. But when you look at that Cavs roster, that should be – they should have won – they should have had the one seed in the Eastern Conference. And that's easily a 60-win team.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're not anywhere near 60 right now, they're what, 52?
Yeah, 51, 52, yeah. Depending on
like,
when you're
listening. Like, to me, the expectations that we have for LeBron James, I you're out of the MVP race.
I mean, he set them, though. He set them by being such a good player.
True.
For so long.
True.
And he's only been the one seed a couple times in his career, so this isn't a new thing.
I mean, true. That's why I'm not really worried about it. But compared to his counterparts that are also going for the MVP, I just think that they are more valuable at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Your team has to be better for you to be. And that's sort of the James Harden case also.
Well, your team
but
has
we're not going
to
go into that.
Your team has to be better. It also depends on your definition of value, everyone's definition of value, because I think it's who brings the most to their team.
And if it's just that, It has to be LeBron. Because without LeBron, the Cavs were a 19-win team. And the Cavs had no stars. The Cavs had no future. The Cavs had nothing. The Cavs...
But Cleveland's economy was worse. Yeah, that's true. I mean, but that team is a whole lot different now than it was the minute before LeBron signed there. They have other pieces now, too.
Yeah, but those pieces didn't come there until LeBron did.
I mean, true.
Kevin Love's not making that deal unless he knows. I agree,
but if LeBron had been hurt all year and if it had just been Kyrie and Love running the show, I still think that's a playoff team. I do.
Yeah, in the East. I mean, when you look at the bottom, I mean, you look at the Bulls are in the playoff race.
I think they're a playoff team in the West.
And those teams are dysfunctional. Holy cow.
I think a Kyrie and Kevin Love led team is at least an 8-7-8 seed in the West.
Speaking of the bottom of the East, have you seen what the Miami Heat have done?
Oh my gosh.
The Miami Heat have...
I heard what the Brooklyn Nets are doing tonight.
Brooklyn Nets have...
They're resting their starters, and I think they're playing Chicago, right?
They're playing either one of Miami or Chicago. Yeah. I don't remember. By the time you listen to it, you know. But
right.
The Miami Heat... Holy cow. That team... Okay. So... From the beginning of the season to January 15th, they were 11-30. They were worse than the Mavericks.
Yeah, 29th
in the NBA.
And ever since what?
Since then, they've been 29-11.
That's insane.
Third best record in the NBA since then.
That's insane.
That to me says Eric Spoelstra should be the coach of the year. That's it.
Listen, you know what's so funny? I said during the whole LeBron run that Eric Spoelstra was a good coach.
Yeah.
And everybody kept saying, no, LeBron's just making him good, blah, blah, blah,
Which is part of it. I mean,
there's Spoelstra, some truth to that. But I said, you know, Spoelstra's a good coach. I said he did a good job when it was just Wade. That very first year, he did a good job there. And, you know, they had to kind of rebuild a little bit, kind of get past the LeBron era.
Yeah.
And I know they started off slow. But... He's done phenomenal.
This team lost in the span of a couple months, lost their two best players.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
Right.
You forgot about Chris Bosh?
Yes.
Chris Bosh is still not playing in the NBA.
That's true.
And shout out to Chris Bosh. I miss Chris Bosh in the NBA.
And he is from what city?
He went to Georgia Tech.
Oh, you don't know?
I don't know.
Dallas, Texas.
Oh, I didn't know he was from Dallas.
Went to Lincoln High School in Dallas, Texas.
Huh. You learn things every day, everybody.
He's a native Texan.
Man, what a career he's had. Texas, Georgia Tech, Toronto, Miami.
Miami, yeah, he's kind of been all over the place.
Man. Do you follow him on Instagram or anything? Him and his family always go on these trips everywhere. Man, they're like in Africa and like random places in Europe, and it's fun.
I will say this. If I had Chris Bosh money, I totally would be going on those trips.
But the Heat, I mean, the Heat of like, man, they just become... such a good team since then.
Now let me ask you this. Can they challenge Boston or can they challenge
Miami? They might not make it in the playoffs.
Tonight I think they definitely have to win
and I think Chicago has to lose tonight. But by the time you listen to it, you know what happened. But so back to the Mavericks though.
Yes. We took a total turn there
because the Mavericks season was kind of weird. But so the team went sort of off the deep end. Yeah, the lowest of the low was when we thought Dirk was going to retire.
That was so scary.
I
was like, no, Dirk, don't do this to me.
What a day. So close to 30,000, too. I mean, that would have been.
Yeah, you know, it was so creepy, too, because the Mavs were horrible. He had an Achilles injury at age 30? How old is he? 39, 38? That usually you don't recover from that.
Yeah. And we had a player on our team, Wes Matthews, that was still sort of recovering from Achilles injury.
Right.
And he's like 30.
Now, the only difference is that he had a complete tear.
Yeah.
Whereas Dirk's wasn't, which is huge. Those are two different injuries.
But their ages are almost a decade different. So
creepy.
The recovery time in that span is, you know, way different as well. So we had that. And then we had the Seth Curry gets his chance finally.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he sort of had his chance in Sacramento and got some play, but that was a big subplot before the season was that is Seth Curry going to get minutes?
Because you looked
at the roster and you said, well, Deron Williams is going to get his minutes. Wes Matthews is probably going to go to the two now because you have Harrison Barnes coming in.
All right.
You have J.J. Barea and Devin Harris after that. Where is Seth going to get his minutes?
He earned them.
And we found out.
I mean, granted, a couple people got hurt in the process, but he earned
A couple
them.
People got hurt in the process. A guy got released and waived.
Yeah, Williams got released and waived. J.J. got hurt. Devin was hurt.
Yeah.
Hey, Seth, you know how to shoot a basket, don't you?
And he got all the minutes he could take. And, man, he played a ton of basketball. He played the most basketball of his career.
I know this is totally random, but I wonder how many fans have messed up saying Steph instead of Seth.
I wonder how many broadcasters have done
too.
That. I think Falwell has done that
several
times.
Yeah, he's done it.
Times.
Yeah, he's
Harp
messed up
has done it a couple times. I bet Chuck has done
back over to Steph. I mean, Seth.
I think we've done it.
Oh, we probably have.
We probably have done it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But the emergence of Seth Curry, I think that...
I love it.
At the beginning of the season, I thought he was only going to be a one. You know, like I thought he was a point guard.
Let me ask you this. Some people say that Seth could end up being this new Mavericks version of Jet, Jason Terry.
I could see that.
I think it was a nice comparison.
Yeah.
I agree.
I could see that. I think that – I don't think they have enough talent for him to be coming off the bench like Jet did.
Well, yes. But, I mean, yeah, because, I mean, the whole time Jet was here, the Mavs had a pretty good team, but – you know, if they can somehow gain some pieces, could they turn him into that? He has, what, one more year on his contract?
Yeah, $3.6 million.
And he's going to get some money after next year.
Which is three times less than Dwight Powell's contract.
That's, wow. Wow. I was not expecting you to say that. But I know Dwight had to make some money, but...
He's making like nine something next year, so it's a little bit less than three times. But
is Dwight Powell younger than me?
And he is us? 25, I think.
Okay, so we're the same age. That doesn't make me feel as bad. It doesn't make me feel as bad.
Well, you're also not 7 feet tall and can jump out of the gym, so.
Dang jeans.
So, but to go back to Seth Curry, I mean, talk about the season for Seth Curry. I mean, yeah. I didn't think that he was going to be playing off the ball as much as he has. He's been able to, I mean, he's shooting 42% from three. That's
bossy.
That's super good. And it's as well as you could have expected. Were you disappointed with Seth? Were you surprised by Seth? Were you caught off guard by Seth in any way? Like, where would you put it on that spectrum?
Kind of the latter half of the two. A little surprised, a little caught off guard. It's not that I didn't expect him to play well. I wanted him to play well. To me, he exceeded my expectations, which is why I say I was a little shocked and a little caught off guard.
Yeah.
Because I thought he'd be a solid player. But, you know, I think back to that stretch we always talk about in March and February, and he looked like a superstar. He was playing really good basketball.
For like a couple weeks, he was averaging 20 points a game.
Right.
You know, shooting like 50%
from three. And, you know, he's not his brother. I think everybody can agree to that. But I think that there will be nights, and we never know what it's going to be, where he has flashes of his brother.
Yeah, he could be like the Kobe to Jordan. the Seth to Steph.
I'm like, if you can, you know, show flashes of that, of your brother... I don't think anybody's tripping about that.
No. Definitely not.
Yeah. You know, his brother's 2-time MVP. Absolutely.
We did this with Yogi. What do you think Seth eventually becomes? What do you think he is? Because he's probably – the Mavericks might go after him with an extension, or they could offer him a bigger contract to start next season, but the season after that.
I'm going with Jet.
And it could be like a 5-year, 4-year deal.
I'm going with Jet.
He could be Jet.
Yeah.
So you're talking like a combo type guard that comes off the bench.
Yeah. I can see that.
Never like good enough to crack a rotation that's going to be in contention.
Well, I mean,
but
I mean, Jet could have started,
yeah.
But his role was perfect.
It's like Ginobili. It's like Jamal Crawford in his prime. You know,
right? I mean, I could see Seth being, you know, that type of a guy. You know, I don't think his growth has totally happened yet. I think he's still growing, and I think that he can be a very a huge spark off the bench.
I think that if you get a good enough playmaker, like if you get this is like pushing a pin in, like this is stabbing all Mavs fans with a with a scabbard. If you get a guy like Giannis, can't believe I just said that. If you get a guy like Giannis on this team, like a three that can really play make and that could actually be your point guard, you could have Seth start and play the one and be like a good, you know, spot up shooter slash guy that can create little offense here and there slash a guy that can defend fairly well. He's pretty high up there in defensive plus minus if you look at the stats. But if you like, if you get
that's a big if. But okay,
I'm saying a type of guy like that that can play make like a three that can play make for you.
So if they get that, you're automatically just sticking Harrison at the four.
I mean, he's been at the four all year.
I know, but I'm saying like
I think the Mavericks are stuck
position there. Just that's it.
Yeah, I mean, if you have that and then Wes and then Yogi coming off the bench, Nerlens. I mean,
yeah,
but. I mean, that's a huge if. They're not like a viable option. I'm just saying that.
No,
I'm just talking about scenarios that Seth could be in that would be good for him.
Okay.
Fine. You're just upset that I mentioned Giannis.
No. I'm not.
Antetokounmpo.
How do you pronounce it? I cannot pronounce it.
Antetokounmpo.
The Greek freak.
I think I can spell it too.
That's impressive.
I'm typing it without. So we're good with Seth.
Yes.
Super glad that he's on the team. Ended up being an amazing signing for the Mavericks.
Were you disappointed at any Maverick this year?
I was disappointed with Andrew Bogut, for sure. I think a lot of people were high on the Andrew Bogut signing.
He didn't fit though. Him and Dirk really can't play together at all.
No, they cannot. I was disappointed with him. I mean, there's times when I was disappointed with Wes, but I don't think totally I was disappointed with Wes. Dwight Powell, I think I was disappointed with a little.
You expect a little bit more?
I think that the Mavericks, they signed him to that extension, and you'd think that he would show or be able to crack a rotation in some way, especially with all the injuries. Even with all the injuries, there are still nights where he was a DNPCD. Like, he's just not playing, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
and Justin Anderson, I think you can throw on there, too.
I was disappointed. I'm not really disappointed in Bogut because I quickly saw how that wasn't going to work.
So you didn't think it was his fault?
I don't think it was actually his fault. With Anderson, I was very disappointed in because I had a lot of high hopes last year.
A lot of people did. He ended the year very well.
You're right.
Last year.
I mean, on the current roster, I don't think I'm really disappointed with anybody.
What about AJ Hammonds? Roster.
No.
You didn't really expect anything from
him? No, I'm not this year, no. I mean, Carlisle doesn't – I mean, I know he kind of had to this year, but he's not truly committed to younger guys who don't have – who haven't shown him something, and I wasn't expecting much out of him. I don't want to say I'm disappointed in this player because I didn't expect a lot out of him, but I guess if I had to, you know, hypothetically answer this question, I would say Salamedri.
Really?
Yeah.
No one talks about Salamedri unless they're like talking about him being weird.
He's an interesting character.
The backup bigs on this team were just kind of disappointing.
Yeah, they were both just non-existent.
Measuri had that one game though where he had like 17 rebounds.
Yeah, against the Sixers.
Though.
Yeah, he was killing it. Yeah,
you remember that game?
He totally killed it.
He had some flashes this year, and I guess that's kind of all you can expect from him. But you'd think that, yeah.
Well, I remember. I guess I got a little. I'm not saying I expected a lot, but I remember in the playoffs last year against Oklahoma City when he had some major blocks on Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and the AAC just went hyped and pumped. So it was like, where was that all year?
Yeah, it's hard to get up. Yeah, I think he's a guy that really feeds off like emotion, you know?
And
they didn't have a lot of emotional games this year.
That's very true. And I think Justin Anderson was a little, I think he feeds off of emotion too because he played very well in the playoffs. And then when he played the Mavericks this year on the Sixers, that was his only good game on the Sixers.
He got up for that game for sure.
He was ready to play. But, you know.
So you take the rest of the season. Is there any other moments we haven't talked about that stick out to you?
Any moments that stick out to me?
This year you're going to look back on this season and think what?
Rebuild.
Dirk 30K? You're not going to think about that?
I mean, I'm going to think Dirk 30K, but I mean, to me that's just another one of Dirk's great accomplishments.
Yeah,
I'm not really going to think about this team, but I think about, Dirk scored 30,000 points, you know?
Because it's going to happen again a couple more times. Like, I think LeBron's definitely going to do it in a couple years. Durant's probably going to do it. You look at Harden and Westbrook, like, those guys are on their way to doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful accomplishment, obviously. I associate that with another great accomplishment by Dirk. He has so many.
Yeah.
And that's another great accomplishment. I don't really associate it with the team.
Are you going to look back at this season for the Mavericks and say this is the first time the Mavericks decided to finally rebuild? Because I think some people still look at this team and are like, oh, they still haven't tried to rebuild.
I think this is the beginning of the post-Dirk era. I might say that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Dirk's still on the team, but I think
he's still on the roster. He's still there every day.
Right.
I'm talking about the post-Dirk era.
Yeah, but I say that, though, because they're clearly trying to begin building this team post-Dirk. And, you know, they've talked about it with Harrison Barnes. I mean, Harrison Barnes was the number one guy this year. You know, he signed a 4-year contract. I don't think Dirk's going to be there all 4 years.
No.
So,
not in the locker room anyway. He could be in the front office or somewhere else.
Right. But, you know, I think it's, you know, you mentioned Seth could get an extension at some point, you know. Nerlens Noel, obviously, he'll probably get, you know, re-signed this summer. Yeah. So, I mean, this is the beginning of the post-Dirk. You know, Mavericks. It is.
And with the post-Dirk Mavericks becomes the highest draft pick that the Mavericks have had since Dirk.
Oh.
Which is crazy. I mean, we've talked about it before how it's, you know, it's saying something to be able to say that.
Well,
it's saying how good the team has been.
So. Technically, they were in the lottery in 2013.
But the pick is not going to be, is going to be 8.
Right
now, they sit at 8. I don't think they can get lower than 9, even with standings.
How dope would it be if we somehow got like the 2?
It can happen. By the way,
this
is something I think a lot of Mavericks fans need to know. If you don't know how the lottery works, let me try to explain it to you. There's all these combinations of ping pong balls, and so putting them all together and finding the right combination is super hard to explain, and there's all these people that's their job to figure to figure out how that works and stuff.
Right.
But for the Mavericks, they're either going to be stuck at 8, if they end up at 8, let's say that's where they are right now, and that's where they end up at the end of the season when you're listening to this. They're at 8. They can't go anywhere between 7 and 4. They have to either go 1, 2, 3, or they drop because somebody else below them, whether that's Sacramento, who's at 9, or whether that's the Nuggets, who are at 14, jumped up to the top 3. So some people are like, well, what if we end up with the 4th or 5th pick? That's impossible. It literally cannot happen. So it has to be 1, 2, 3, and they have, I think, a 6% chance to end up in the top 3 or something like that.
No,
so you're saying there's a chance.
Hey, there's a chance.
They end up in 1, 2, 3.
What would you do if they said the Mavericks have the number one pick?
That would be incredible. I would be down covering Markelle Fultz for a little while and figuring that out.
Right.
Man.
That would be awesome.
Fultz, Curry, Yogi. Those are some JJ. That's some good point guard action right there.
That'd be fun.
And that would be... Yeah, that would be incredible. Do you think that if the Mavericks got the number one pick, and we can still speculate about this because it is possible.
There's a chance.
It's like a 2% chance, I think, or like a 1.9% chance. If the Mavericks got the number one pick, where would you rank that in Mavericks' like best moments in history? It's got to be like high up there, right? It's got to be like top 5.
I don't know about top 5.
You put like the championship, you put like a couple Dirk things.
Finals appearance in 06, 67 win season, even though it ended up being a disappointment.
Yeah.
But Dirk winning MVP. I mean, the Mavericks, I don't know if you. Yeah.
In retrospect, you put drafting, like trading for Dirk on draft night. That's got to be like a great moment, even though you didn't know it at the time.
Right. I mean, it was a good moment for the time, but it ended up being bad later. At the time when they drafted Jason Kidd.
Oh,
and
yeah. They had
Kidd and Jackson and Mashburn.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't work, but at the time, everybody thought it was incredible. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where I would rank that. I'd have to think about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I could
top
see
10.
It being
Let's
top,
say top
10. But
let's just increase the number.
Yeah, I think it'd be, but top five is a little rough.
That'd be an incredible moment in Mavs history, though.
It would be fun. It would definitely be fun. I don't doubt that.
And so, okay, so let's just talk about the draft because we got 15 minutes left. Let's just go into it.
The draft.
So we're going to go into this a lot more for sure. We'll go into the details, do our homework. We'll get there. But for now, it looks like Frank Ntilikina and Dennis Smith are probably going to be available at 8. Do you take a point guard in this draft? Are you going for it? Like,
I want one, but I want the right one.
Right. But
I don't just want a point guard just that I don't want another Shane Larkin.
So in answering that question, you think that any combination of Curry, Yogi, and JJ are not the answer?
I don't think that's the answer for a true playoff competing team. I mean, where are we raising the expectations for the Mavericks next year? What will be
that's
considered
another question you have to answer.
Successful
in,
season.
Yes, that's another question you would answer in your answer. Where are we raising it? Because I think that, I mean, this is all, we're going to get into prospects, but I think Frank's ceiling is higher than Dennis Smith's.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
He hasn't done his homework yet.
No, I have. I usually do my homework really closer to the draft. But
yeah, when the season's done. Yeah. The season's not done while we're talking about
right.
this. So.
But I don't know. Like, I do want a point guard. I just want the right point guard.
Okay, I guess, am I saying, let's say, do you have to go point guard in that spot? Just because there are those available, let's say there's another player that's a better, let's say it's Jonathan Isaac, and you think Jonathan Isaac is better than those two guys. Would you just simply go point guard because this league is so point guard heavy?
Yes.
Or would you go with the best available?
I think that you... It depends on where they draft.
It's going to be eight. I'm saying it's eight. I'm telling you the numbers say that it's 96% going to be stuck.
I know that.
Your optimism is showing.
I know it's probably going to be eight.
I'm telling you 96% chance.
I know, I believe it's going to be eight. But they need a point guard.
I don't feel like you believe it's going to stay at eight.
You don't feel that way?
Yeah, I feel like you think it's going to go in top three.
Are you questioning me?
I know. I'm thinking your optimism is just like.
No, I don't think they're going to get eight. I don't think they're going to get one, two, or three. I don't think that.
Still, there's a chance.
Yeah, there is a chance. But I think that, I mean, the NBA has been guard dominated for the last decade now. It's just point guards.
You could look back to a decade. I mean, you're going back to 2007. I wouldn't say that it was guard dominated when the.
I'm saying that's when it began.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of some of the best point guards that we've had in this decade.
I mean, you try to fill out your all NBA ballot, and you're leaving off Chris Paul.
Yeah.
You know, like that's where we are, where you think that. So you have six spots for guards, not just point guards, guards in general. You put for sure Westbrook and Harden. That's two. For sure, you're going to put Isaiah Thomas, Curry. John Wall's definitely got to be on there.
John Wall.
Then you have DeMar DeRozan, who's probably going to be on there. You're leaving off Chris Paul. You're leaving off Damian Lillard. You're leaving off Mike Conley, who's averaging 20 points and is the only thing good on a team that's in the playoffs with Marc Gasol. You're leaving off a bunch of dudes.
It's guard heavy, so they need a point guard. You know, but I like Seth and I like JJ and I like Yogi, but they're not I don't see any of those three, especially JJ, because now he's older.
But
I don't see any of those three being potential superstars in 2 years.
If you are trying to build for the future, do you look to the future and are like, man, it's guard heavy now, but you look at who the young players are, the really good young players. You have an Anthony Davis. You have a Karl Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. You have a Joel Embiid, who hopefully, pray to God, will be able to play.
That's your boy.
50 games in a season at some point. You have, you know, young guys like that that are going to be super good and that are bigs. And you say, well, while everyone's zigging, we're going to zag and take something else. Don't go that route.
No.
Don't try to be cute in the draft.
No.
I don't think trying to be cute in the draft
really
works. Well,
no, I don't want them to. I love bigs in basketball. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
The game has changed a lot. Whereas, you know, years ago, you needed a big to kind of take you over the top. You don't necessarily need that now. The game has just changed.
Yeah, you could have a big that's Draymond Green.
Exactly.
He's a wing in every other era.
Exactly. You know, 10, 15 years ago, Harrison Barnes is not playing the four.
No.
You know, so it's like.
He's playing two on some rosters.
Yeah, he's playing two and three. That's literally what he's going to play, you know, 10, 15 years ago. But, that's why I'm saying, you know, it's going to be, I think this is the new NBA. It's a smaller league.
It's here to stay.
Yeah.
They're not, it's not going to go back to the way it was with these Karl-Anthony Towns and Cousins and
no, and I think that they will definitely be an asset for some teams, no doubt. But I don't think that, whereas in the past, you kind of needed them to take you over the top. I mean, think about the Lakers when you guys got Gasol. You guys got a big and he took you over the top. You don't necessarily need that anymore. It's not a necessary need.
Yeah, the thing that's the most valuable now is these big guys, these 7-footers with handles. You know, these 7-footers that have guard skills, the Durants, the Antetokounmpos, the, you know, the guys like that, the Karl Anthony Towns even.
I still cannot pronounce his Antetokounmpo.
You're so close.
I cannot pronounce that name.
What else do you want to get off your chest about this Maverick season?
Well,
it's a season I'm kind of ready to put it in the I'm ready to put it in hindsight.
I'm going to talk real quick just as a real just diehard Mavs fan. No broadcast. This is just taming as if I were like talking in a bar. Okay. As a Mavs fan, I'm a little disappointed. This season kind of hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I understand it, but you never want to see your team potentially lose 50 games. You know, I mean, that's just rough. And, you know, for many, many years, at least throughout my life, whenever the Cowboys would disappoint me, I always had the Mavs to kind of lay back on. This year it was kind of opposite. The Cowboys were really good and the Mavericks weren't good. But, you know, when the Cowboys did lose to Green Bay in the playoffs, I didn't have the Mavs to fall back on because they weren't good.
Yeah.
And you know me, I was on Team Tank for the longest.
So you're like, you're hoping for them to be out. And you're like, now what do I do?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like, and I was in such a pickle because I wanted to see them win, and when they won, I was happy. But at the same time, if they lost, I wasn't necessarily mad, but I wasn't happy either.
Where does that saying come from? I was in a pickle.
Baseball. It's a baseball reference.
But if you think about it as a phrase, in a pickle, like what does that even mean? Like, who was in a pickle? Like actually, literally in a pickle.
Yeah, literally. Literally in a pickle.
I was in it. Maybe it's like I was in a pickle barrel and I was stuck. Like I couldn't get out.
We're trying to think this down to its last logical conclusion.
We're all about theorizing here.
Right. No, but like I didn't know where to turn because, you know, I mean, we would joke around in here and be like, you want the Mavs to lose? Yes, but no. Like I don't want them to lose, but yes, I need them to lose, but...
Do you think that was how most Mavericks fans felt? Like
yes.
They're so conflicted about this season. This is a very conflicting season.
Yeah. I mean, I think most fans who literally follow the team right down to its core, kind of like we do, I think that, yeah, I think that's how they felt. For the fans who only know the Mavs when they win, and they're like, oh, no, the Mavs stink. Name two players. Dirk and...
Darren Williams.
Barea. He still plays there, right?
Devin Harris.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, but for the most part, for the fans who really follow the team,
DeSean Stevenson still?
Yeah, right? I love DeSean Stevenson.
Yeah, I know.
But, it was a hard year. Very hard year.
It was a hard year, but it was interesting. You at least had the Nerlens Noel trade, which is going to be looked at probably as one of the best trades.
I love that trade.
One of the best trades of the trade deadline that year. You're going to... You know, look back and be like, oh, that was the year that Ibaka and Nerlens Noel got traded.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to look back at that. That was good.
No, I mean.
You're going to look back and think about Yogi Mania. That was great.
Right. I mean, it was hard because, you know, I've been a Mavs fan since I basically could walk. And I remember how bad they were in the 90s, late 90s. I remember, like, my parents would take me to the games at Reunion Arena as a kid, and they were so bad, but I didn't know or care because I was a kid. And then they got better, and they were so good for so long, and they were a guaranteed playoff spot, a guaranteed, you know, top team. And it's like ever since 2011, it's kind of like the mighty have fallen. And I mentioned earlier that the Spurs are everything the Mavericks have wanted to be. And the Spurs are still good, and they're still championship contenders.
They've won 60 games.
They've won 60 games. It's like...
Yeah. We're also going to look back on this year and think about Seth Curry. Hopefully you'll be building on this and Seth Curry will be, you know,
I love Seth.
A lot better than he is now and be able to look back and be like, oh, yeah, that was the year that Seth Curry, you know, got his chance. And this is the year Harrison Barnes, you know, sort of had his breakout year. And hopefully that's the time that you look back. And
he still has room for growth, too. I love Harrison Barnes. Yeah, they do.
They both do, and I think that's it's going to be. We're going to look back on this year and say, yeah, it was building the foundation. It was they finally got younger. They finally got pieces that they can build around.
You know, one question I like to ask Harrison, if it hasn't already been asked already, it probably has. I'm sure it has.
It's been asked so many questions.
Yeah, I'm sure this question has been asked. I just want to have the answer to myself. But in comparison to his brother. Give us some pro.
Talking about Harrison or
Seth? I'm asking Harrison because he played with both. I'm saying in comparison with when it comes to Seth Curry in comparison to his brother.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What you know? What positives do you see? What similarities do you see? What differences do you see?
That's interesting. That is a good question.
Yeah, because he played with both, and you know, just to you know get his perspective on that.
Huh. That would be a good question. I'll put that in my memory bank of questions asked during his exit interview.
Give me a shout out.
Yeah.
Like I did for
hey,
you.
By the way, Harrison, Taman Turner of... he'd be like, who the...
Yeah, who?
He wouldn't curse, but...
No, he's a nice guy, I heard.
Yeah, so... And let's look at this season as... I think the Mavericks fans have been frustrated with several things. They've been mostly frustrated with the fact that management and front office still continue to bring in these veteran guys to try to win now, right? I think that was the biggest...
That was at the beginning of the year. I think they completely...
Yeah, I'm saying before
that.
This season. Right. This is the biggest thing that they had. You look over the course of this year, before the offseason, the Mavericks have added now. They have added Harrison Barnes, Seth Curry. They've added Nerlens Noel. They've added Yogi Ferrell, Dorian Finney-Smith. They've added, and for whatever these guys are worth, I mean, they added, you know, like a Nico Brusino, an AJ Hammonds, a Jared Utoff. They're trying. They're trying to get younger.
Right.
They've made some real strides in that area. And they've added a core that I think can definitely be built around. And it needs a star or two, obviously, you know, but it's at least something to build on. And it's better than if this season would have ended with Darren Williams, Andrew Bogut still on the team, still trying to play.
You got to begin somewhere. That's why I said, like, you asked me, like, when you look back to this year, what I say rebuild. This is the beginning of the rebuild.
Yeah, and a successful beginning of a successful rebuild.
Yeah, I could, you know, there's a lot of good pieces. They still have some work to do. You know, I still, as much as I love Barnes and I love Curry, I don't want them being the two best players on the team. I want them to be maybe the second or third, maybe third or fourth.
Yeah.
You know, so there's still some work to be done, but there's a lot of work that has been done already. So they're in a good position.
And if you look at guys like Harden and Westbrook, who's the second best player on their team too? You know, I think a lot of times we're like, ooh, the second best, he can be the third best player on a team. But if you look at the second best player on those teams,
true, but
you get a guy like that, and there's only two of them in the there's only two or three.
Right.
Of them
and the one thing I would question with that though is that even with that said, is that I mean Westbrook and Harden are superstars. I don't know. I think Barnes is a star.
Yeah,
but I don't know if he's going to be a superstar.
Right, which is what I'm saying is if you add a superstar like that to this team.
Oh yeah, okay, I got.
Then
you.
I think that Harrison Barnes could be a second best player on a pretty good playoff.
Could you imagine what I would do if Russell Westbrook somehow came to the Mavericks? I'd be like, oh my god.
I don't think you'd be allowed in the locker room.
The funny thing is, he wouldn't come here because Mark Cuban, even though
doesn't
I love
think
you.
He's a superstar.
Shh.
Doesn't think he's a superstar player. So and depressing. That is just something that we're just going to have to deal with.
So depressing.
And he's not getting off that box, by the way. That is something that Mark Cuban will go to his grave with. He's going to own it until...
By the way, I convinced you, right?
About Russell Westbrook?
Yes.
No, Russell Westbrook convinced me. He had to show me a couple more. He had to show me a couple more things.
I want a little credit.
No, I'll give you credit that you were on it the whole time.
Thank you.
But
I just want to say,
you also, I think, prematurely cast.
I mean, no, I said he was going to win MVP back in October.
That's as premature as it can
but
get.
I predict, but yes, but I.
That's
but
the
I,
definition of
but
premature.
But I predicted this season.
Yeah, so
I said he would have a phenomenal breakout.
Your prediction was correct.
Yeah, boy.
I'll give you that.
Taman was right. Nick was wrong. That's the end of the story.
I was not wrong.
Yes, you were.
Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Guys.
Hey, please rate and review our podcast. Give us some stars.
And by the way, I'm just going to give him a little pre-shout out.
Okay.
Michael DePont's going to be guest hosting for me in a few weeks because I'm going out of town, and that'll be fun.
Oh, we're out of outro music.
Yeah, we're out. I thought it was longer.
We're out, guys. Thank you.
Thanks.